Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your hosts, Chris, and from PlayLikeAJet.com, Mr. Sean McPhillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter, /X, at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at Gronefolk1980. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You can also find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio. And you can also find us at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the other scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, big day here with the tags, not tags, as we head into the tampering period next week.
Yeah, it is. People are like biting fingernails over here, you know? I mean, not over on my side, because this ain't my money, but.
No.
I think there is managed expectations for a lot of these players, because around this time of year, you know where you stand. You've been in the league for a minute. You kind of understand what the deal is. There's sections of the league that specifically around this time of year, they're nervous. You know, like I said, chewing on fingernails, you know, because maybe you've been in the league for a minute and maybe your contract is massive and teams are going to start making cuts, and maybe you've been injured lately and you're not performing on the level that you should be, or where you don't add enough to the team, or whatever it may be. It's a nervous time for specific players in the NFL. So, yeah. That's basically what's happening.
Yeah, and definitely. And we've seen just a one cut for us so far. CJ Uzama, tight end for us. Overall, probably a disappointment for us. I think expectations were a little bit too high by some fans for him. I wasn't expecting, you know, big numbers out of CJ Uzama. You know what I mean? He was never a big time tight end for, you know, Cincinnati. I mean, he was always solid, but I mean, Conklin is more of our big play guy anyway. Uzama, you know, probably more of a better blocker, right? Short yardage guy, not a big play guy.
Well, that's what he was advertised as. And throughout his career, that's what he did. Unfortunately, coming to the New York Jets, you kind of saw the reason why the Bengals were comfortable in walking away from him. You know, he had missed a step. He wasn't as strong as he used to be. A lot of that is, in my opinion, you get to a point in your career where you're like, the love of the game is not the same. Because when it comes to blocking, it's an attitude, you know, because everybody in the NFL is strong. There's not, oh, this guy's weak and this guy, you know, it's either your technique is trash, but if you've been playing the NFL for that long, your technique is not. So it's your desire, in my opinion. And I don't want to, like, in any way cast aspersions on him, but it just seemed like he just wasn't the same guy. He moved slower. His routes were lazy and his blocking was lazy. So all of that combined, in my opinion, I think the plus that he brought to the team was the fact that he was a good glue guy and a good locker room guy. And yeah, since he was an old head, been around for a minute, you know, I guess they kept him around. I mean, I'm not saying they kept him around only for that, but most definitely he lost a step and he wasn't the same guy. And you could tell that the younger players at his position were gaining on him significantly. So it definitely wasn't a surprise for Jets fans that he got cut.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, like, how much of a jump Ruckert makes now this year. You know, I mean, we haven't seen enough out of him. So hopefully now he's going to have a lot of playing time, you know, as the number two, unless they sign. You think they're going to sign a guy? You think they're going to draft a tight end now? Well, what do you think?
This is legitimately a question that only could be answered to when the season starts, or when when the portion of the offseason preparation starts. Because they, I mean, if you watch the what we would say now is the Rodgers offense, there's always a main tight end. There's always the tight end that would be the guy that would get, you know, most of the balls thrown his way, that would get down the field, especially attack the seam, which I think we already have that guy. You know, I'm not saying he's a game-changing type of tight end, but I think he's better than a lot of what is out there. But I think the crazy thing about it is that I think Ruckert could be that second guy, because I think he has flashed potential, enough potential in his route running and his downfield catching, and also in his blocking to be the second tight end on the board, and even flank and play if we want to play two tight ends. I think that's a pretty good two tight ends to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hope that he keeps growing and he keeps getting better. Like I said, he flashed a lot of good last year. So I definitely look forward to seeing what he's gonna do. But if the Jets get somebody else, I don't know. What were their evaluations of him? You know, what did they think of him? Do they think he's up to the task of becoming that somebody they could lean on and the offense could lean on? I don't know.
Right.
In my opinion, I think it's necessary to give him a shot, because I think he flashed enough. But that's my opinion. I don't know where the coaches and the offensive coaches, where their heads at.
Right. No, I agree. And usually a third tight end, if they sign someone or draft someone, that's usually like a developmental guy, like Ruckert has been.
Right.
First 2 years. So do they want to keep him at that three, or do they want to, you know, or do they want to promote him to the two? So it'd be him and Conklin, and then, you know, draft a guy to, you know, to basically maybe take over for Conklin eventually. You know, it'd be Ruckert and the new draft pick. But I don't know. You know, they might bring in a veteran, but not a top veteran guy. Probably more of a, you know, second or third tier guy. But so we'll see. I mean, it's just, and I'm sure more moves are coming for the Jets in the coming days. So I'm sure we're going to hear about other ones, restructures, other cuts as well. You never know. So, because right now we're at like $20 million in cap money. So I would assume they're going to try to squeeze out a little bit more, obviously, because we got more holes to be filled. Someone, it was a Dolphin reporter today. I've seen him tweet something out like about CJ Mosley, because his cap number is like $17 million, and
yes,
maybe they should cut him. And I'm like, you're not cutting CJ Mosley. I'm sorry. They're going to restructure his deal, you know, maybe making a 2-year deal through whatever, but they're not cutting CJ Mosley. He's too important to the defense. He's a leader. I mean, he holds that defense together. Of course, he's not CJ Mosley from 5 years ago when we first signed him. No, he's not the same guy, but he's still one of the better linebackers in the league. So he's not going anywhere. That's my opinion. I don't know what you think, but he's not going anywhere.
Oh, no, I agree with you. Trying to plug a hole like that is ridiculous. It would be almost impossible. You know, I mean, there are some linebackers coming out that are incredibly talented, in my opinion, that these conversations, because it's still too far away from the draft, and I don't think people are having these conversations about certain positions yet. But yeah. Are the Jets the number one? The Jets are not going anywhere near that position in the first round. Number two, they don't have a second rounder, and the players I'm talking about, they're not going to be available in the third round. So that's an out right there. And if they do somehow finagle a way to find a second round pick, would it be for a linebacker? No. So yeah, it's a far-fetched episode, in my opinion, to even try to think of you know, getting rid of him right now. I think there are players on the Jets that could adequately fill in for him in positions where he's taken a step back at, which, you know, if you're saying coverage or whatever it is, I mean, they're not going to have the kind of IQ level that he has, but physically they might be able to, you know, they might have a couple steps on him, you know. So yeah, that, no matter how I try to think about it, that's definitely not a move the Jets would do.
Yeah, I don't see it either. So let's go over the guys that were tagged or not tagged. So the guys that were tagged, because the date was, I think, yesterday, they had to be notified they were being tagged or not. But Michael Pittman, Brian Burns, Jalen Johnson, Justin Matabuki. I know I'm saying it wrong, but
Matabuki.
Yeah. Antoine Winfield, Josh Allen from the Jags, obviously, and Kyle Duggar, who is a transitional tag. The one that we got to keep an eye on a little bit is Brian Burns. Even they've gotten offers already. I think it was the Rams. They reported the Rams offered him 2 first-round picks
for Brian,
and they turned that down. I think that's insane. Listen, Carolina, we know, is in the rebuild mode. They're nowhere near, you know, a playoff team or anything like that. They still have to find out if the kid is real at quarterback, right? I mean, Bryce Young, what is he? We didn't see enough of him last year. We didn't see enough out of him, I should say, to say, oh yeah, he's definitely the guy. So I think that's what this year should be about, is like putting everything around him, put him in the best possible position and see what he could do this year, because you got to know if your quarterback is the real deal or not. Otherwise, next year, because you're going to probably have a high draft pick next year, you got to figure it out. You know what I mean? So I think they should definitely trade Brian Burns, and not because he's not a good player. I think he's a great player, but get what you can, start rebuilding this team. You know, what do you
think? Yeah. I mean, that's one way to go about it. The problem with what you're saying is, I think the position is what matters here. The conversation, in my opinion, is if you don't have a quarterback, you need to have somebody that harasses quarterback. And that's what Josh Allen is, you know? So, I mean,
Burns for Carolina.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand what you're trying to say. I'm trying to formulate a better argument, because you kind of cornered me a little bit. But I don't like the idea of getting rid of him. You understand?
Right.
It's hard to get a player like that. You don't shake trees and then Josh Allen falls out of it. You know,
that's true.
You know, so is it him or the quarterback? Is it that serious? That's what we're talking about. Is it that bad that they can't find a way to have both of them on the team? Because who's the other players on that team that is going to command a massive salary that's going to eat up all the money that you were talking about, right? Because there's going to be, right, at least 3 guys, right, in my opinion. Like, give or take 3 people on an NFL roster that are going to eat up cap space. Your quarterback, that means you found your future guy, right? That's a great start. A lot of us, well, as Jets fans, we know how that feels.
Well, Carolina doesn't know yet. That was my point. They don't know what they got.
Right.
In Bryce Young.
I understand that, but the problem, the thing is, the kid is still a young man. It's like, you know, you have time to think about that. And whilst you're thinking about that, I don't know if the way to go is, oh, get rid of probably the most talented player on your whole roster, just so that it can give you space to do what? That team is incredibly young.
Not very
young.
You know,
I totally understand. But where do you go pick pick those fruits from, though? It's going to be the draft, so it's going to be even more youth.
Yeah,
definitely. You understand what I'm saying? So
they're not
going to be one of those teams going swimming in the free agent pool right now, in my opinion. That's not where they're going to be going. So
yeah.
I think long term, my opinion, they should keep him. He should be a cornerstone of their team. Because if you're going to have a bunch of young guys running around, you got to have people like Josh Allen around. You don't want to have just a bunch of whippersnappers running around the NFL. What do you how long do you think that's going to last?
I agree to a point, but this is a team that's going nowhere. And they're going going nowhere for the next couple of years.
Well, Chris, the issue with what you're saying is if you would have what would you say if I told you that exactly what you're saying would probably be your opinion of the Houston Texans last year?
Right. Well, they got here's the difference. They got the quarterback right.
Right, but we didn't know then. This is the question. This is the thing, right?
But they were taken at the same the same year. Like we see right. CJ Stroud. Okay, this year he looks great. Bryce Young, I mean, the games that he played, nobody was saying, oh yeah, this guy's the real deal.
But my thing is, Chris, not everybody's gonna be CJ Stroud. You know.
Oh, not right away.
Bryce, you're right. Bryce Young was highly touted for a reason now. He gotta be talented. The problem is they don't have the talent around him to kind of, especially on offensive line, you know, to protect him, to allow him to grow. So they need to kind of bolster that line, right? But I don't think the Josh Allen money is gonna help them do that, because I don't know if Brian Burns, sorry, my bad. I don't know if the Brian Burns money is where this is going, right? You know, I keep going to Josh Allen. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all right. No, I understand.
I am so much about the things that make sense. In my opinion, if you have you have to have a pass rusher in this NFL, bro.
Right.
It gives you a shot. It gives you a shot every Sunday. You know what I mean? So getting rid of one is in my, it's like you're fighting, you basically fighting against yourself. I don't think that's a great goal. I think you need these guys, these cornerstone guys, to stay around. You need, again, going back to the youth of the team. Every team that's young have specific players, even if they're themselves young, but they're more pro, like they've been in the league 2-3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to have those guys. I think they become the de facto leaders around these teams. And if you don't have them, I think the blind leading the blind is kind of where you're going with that. And so I'm not really of the opinion of Brian Burns being traded or anything like that, because I don't, like I said, you don't shake trees and Burns falls out. Like that's not happening.
Yeah, no, I get that point. I think if they were closer, I would 100% agree. But since they're so far from being a competitive team, and I get what you're saying with the veteran, and I totally get it. Like I said, if they were like a year or two, if they were closer, or if they knew what Bryce Young was, I'd be all for it. But since they don't, I would, for me, like they got a pretty good tackle, you know, on offense. Like here, if Burns was a tackle or a guard, someone on offense, wide receiver, I would say, yeah, I wouldn't trade him either, because you need him to help Bryce Young.
So you're offensively biased, Chris? That's what you're trying to say?
Well, because to me, it's all about the quarterback, sadly.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, but also it is all about the quarterback. That's why the pass rusher is important.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying?
No, right.
Yeah, I mean,
defensive side, but from the offensive side, you need to build your offense more, and you need pieces. But you need more, and they don't have, and think about it, this year they don't have a first round pick because of their trade to get Bryce Young.
So let me ask you a question. So your stance is if they get to trade him to get a piece that's going to bolster their line, right? That's what you're trying to say?
More than one piece, but...
I know what I'm saying. I'm not one piece, but yeah.
For multiple reasons. It clears up, right. What is he getting paid? Like $24 million, I think he's getting with the...
But they don't have anybody that they need to pay.
No. Well,
everybody else is young, is incredibly young players. Who's on that roster that's up for massive...
tackles, Moton, he's getting almost $30 million. One of the corners, Dante Jackson, he's getting a lot of money. Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle. Von Bell, the safety. Corbett, their other guard. So their offensive line is pretty solid, you know? I don't think that's the issue.
I think they played like trash last year.
Right.
You could say they're solid. I mean, I think calling the names out, I think you could say that they're solid. But I don't think that line played well at all. They didn't match their names on the jerseys for me.
No, and I think a big part of it is the quarterback.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt that at all. Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
I think that's the bigger problem here.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but the ship hasn't sailed for Bryce Young. He's just getting started.
Right.
Whatever the plan A was or the plan B was, because they might have had to pull both plan A and plan B out last year. That's how bad things were. It didn't work. They need to pull a fresh script out and start writing. You know?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's basically going over and trying to
I always side with the fact that football is a team sport, and as much as it's about offense, it's also about defense. And as much as Bryce Young is important to the offensive side of the team, Brian Burns is important for the defensive side of the team. Because for him to be able to get the ball back in situations where it makes it easier for him, get a turnover, get a strip sack or whatever, I mean, giving him a short field so he could see more different layers of the playbook getting called instead of just first and tens from all the way back on his 20 is incredibly important, in my opinion. That's, to me, the importance of a defensive player that can get you turnovers, you know, and you don't give that away. You know, so I definitely see where you're coming from, but I just don't think the money is important now. I think the infusion of talent will come because they have picks where they're going to be able to get that. I just don't know if getting rid of a player of Burns' caliber is going to give you back what you think is going to help you that much. I think his talent on the team is going to be more of a positive thing going forward than whatever they could get if they traded him or whatever.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, from a defensive side, I agree. He'll help keep them somewhat in the game. But, last year, they only won two games last year.
So yeah.
That's going to be, I think this year is big, more for to see what Bryce Young could do. He needs to step up this year. Show something where you'd say, okay,
we can't say he didn't show anything. I think he had a couple of games where he actually flashed. There was a couple of games. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember. Remember there was a game where they came back from down. What's that?
Yeah, maybe. There were one or two.
Yeah. I think they eventually lost the game, but you could tell that the kid could play. The pro football game is so different from the college game that you have to understand. This is why we're so in awe of the Texans QB. This is something that we just do not see. A college QB coming into the pros and just assimilating or just melding into the pros the way he did is something that you just do not see. What Bryce Young is going through is what you see all the time. And it's been going on for so long that I remember Peyton Manning coming in the league and looking like trash, throwing how many interceptions for one season?
Oh, yeah, his first year was bad.
Exactly. So this is what I'm talking about. I don't think they're in dire straits as much as, you know, you would think because of his performances his first year. I think if they are being honest and they're evaluating him to the, you know, at a level where they're watching, you know, the small steps he's taken forward, or he did take forward in the season, you know, they might have a plan to keep those steps going forward, you know, because incremental growth in a quarterback is everything, because you're not going to see hops, skips, and jumps, you know.
No. You like to see a little bit more because he's the number one overall pick.
Oh, see, yeah, that's the problem, Chris.
Step this year.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
I will tell you, this is the poison. This is the poison that kills quarterbacks. I understand where you're coming from, but we have to tell the truth. You're taking... I heard Mark Schlereth say this, and he literally said that if I taught it, college football is like me teaching you how to ride a bike, and then when I'm done teaching you riding a bike, I put you in a car with a clutch and a stick and say, drive now. And you've never driven one before. That's how different the pro game is from the college football.
Right.
And that's a former pro football player telling you, and he calls games every season. So that means he breaks down pro football games constantly. And he says it all the time that it's hard to transition from that to this. So falling down and crashing and burning a couple times is sometimes necessary for certain players. And an anomaly like what happens in the Texans is not something that's going to happen. So if I'm drafting you first round, we have to go back to what Green Bay has been able to do and how much we're in awe of what they've been doing. Guess what? They literally sheltered their quarterbacks, all of them, and ended up turning them into basically pro-level, high-end, elite, Hall of Fame-type quarterbacks without starting them. I drafted you because I know you have something in you and I need to grow it. But I don't need you to show it to me now. I need you to show it to me because you're my future at some point. But I don't need it now. The problem is you're asking these guys to do something that's almost impossible. And that, to me, it damages a lot of these young quarterbacks coming in the NFL because they're never able to actually grow into the quarterbacks they need to be, because it kind of stunts their growth. There's coaches doing all kinds of crazy stuff, trying to meld the college game into the pro game, taking away a lot of the fundamentals of the game that might be essential in their overall growth long term, but would give them a quicker, hotter spark now, which is bad. This is something I've been thinking about for especially this the conversation surrounding Justin Fields. It's like, did you really give this kid a shot at actually being a quarterback in the NFL? Or did you want him to perform so badly that you took away the fundamentals of the game of playing quarterback in the pros and tried to insert these cheats that look more like college football into the game, right? So just so that he could look a little better every week, right? But you're poisoning him slowly because you're taking away the things that might have made him a 10-year starter.
Well, that's going to be...
You understand what I'm saying?
That's the argument for the Texans too, right?
Thank you. Thank you. But because this is the problem. This is why, in my opinion, it's incredibly important that they let the kid in Carolina grow. Let him play pro football. You cannot, there's no shortcut into learning how to be a quad pro quarterback. You have to go through the fires of it. And everybody feels like, because I picked you number one, you need to show me now that you're a number one. It's impossible. It's impossible. There's only a handful of players in the last 20-something years that has been able to transition into the NFL team, pro game. Even when it was bet, it was in, again, I might be completely wrong, but what defenses are able to do now, or what they're doing now, is even more ridiculous than what they used to do back then.
Yeah.
So now you're asking guys to not only understand their offense, but understand the incredible tapestry or that is defenses in the NFL now. It's to me, it's mind-boggling. And it's like, that's why then you start having all these conversations about our teams actually trying to win, or they're just trying to sell tickets.
You know what it is? It's right. It's a combination of that. And it's a combination of just the sheer pressure that is on the teams to perform right away. Right.
Yeah.
And quarterback to perform right away. You know, like what CJ Stroud did. That's why with the Jets, we said it when Zach Wilson first got here, when they first drafted him, it would have been better for him to sit for a year. Right. And we see the advantages of that. Like with Green Bay, they sat Jordan Love for what, 3 years behind, you know, they were lucky enough, were fortunate enough, were smart enough, whatever way you want to look at it, that they were able to sit him for 3 years. And then look at him now. He finally comes in, he starts, and he's starting to look like a, you know, a true starter in this league. I don't know how good he's going to be, how, you know, how high of a level he's going to get to, but he looked pretty good last year. He got to the playoffs. He almost beat the Cowboys on the road. So, I mean, I'm sorry, he did beat the Cowboys on the road.
Yeah.
He almost beat, the 49ers on the road, I should say.
Yes.
But yeah, no, he looked pretty good. And why? Look at that. He sat for 3 years. I'm not going to say Zach Wilson would be guaranteed be this kind of level.
It's never guaranteed.
But you know what? I think there would be a better chance of it than
him. Exactly. And that's there you go. This is the thing, right? Because if you're going to, because this is a game of numbers, right? So if you're going to tell me this is a game of numbers and you're trying to find the percentage or the chance, the better percentage of a chance of being, of coming out with a more with a positive outlook or giving the kid a better chance to survive, is having him learn at a pace that works for him. And I don't care how smart you are or whatever, it takes something incredibly out of this world to transition from what these guys are asked to do. You see players, I go back and watch, I know it's a different position, but Quinnen Williams was an absolute beast in college. He comes into the NFL, right? The way this kid played in college, you would think that he would come into the NFL and actually dominate, or at least flash domination. Guess you remember what happened in his first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, nah, he's a bust. Mm-hmm. Oh, he sucks. Oh, his second year, this guy's no good. This guy's this and that. His third year, oh, wait. That's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
But not everybody has the patience. That's the problem.
And that,
right or wrong.
But why is that a problem? That's the thing. Because if you're in the business of growing, winning teams, you have to have the patience. Or listen to me. Guess what? You grow a franchise in a way that you're able to stack these type of players, so that now you're inserting talented player behind talented player, because you're actually going out there and finding the right guy to fit right behind your starter right now so that he could stand, sit behind him long enough so he could, like, you know, catch a few of these, you know, little nuggets that the more senior player is dropping and kind of hone his skill for a little bit, and then you could insert him, right? Maybe it takes you not drafting high a player you want, or and finding somebody that's a diamond in the rough in the second and third round or fourth round, right? And actually putting all your scouting and all your coaching skills and teaching skills to the test, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Because this, again, it goes back to the conversation. I know we've kind of driven off the road right now. But the conversation, the reason why this conversation goes this deep is because it goes back to the reasoning. Carolina is struggling right now because they have youth, a lot of youth, but they also have players that are kind of, they're supposed to be good, but they, you know, and there's not enough of a good mesh of good to great or good to okay players on that team. So there's a lot of like really kind of on like the levels are off a ton on that team. And the reasoning behind that is because they've made a lot of mistakes. They've made a lot of mistakes. So now you've made all these mistakes. You've drafted players that have not performed the way you anticipated they should have, right? Or you didn't grow them the way you should have. And now you take this kid and then you throw him in the mix and you go, abracadabra. What do you think is going to happen? There's not enough of a support system there for the kid to perform, in my opinion. So now you got to go out and try to get it. And it goes back to what I was saying. I'm pretty passionate about it, that I just think a lot of coaching staffs and a lot of teams ruin the careers of a lot of pro football players.
I agree.
Because you're right. They do have a lot of pressure, right? But they're paying you millions of dollars to be able to overcome that pressure, my friend. Hmm. You know? So this conversation is deep as hell, in my opinion. It goes to all these young coaches they're hiring that never coached people before. What do we like anyway? I've gone too far. But like I said, I hope to God that they're able to build something around this kid, because I think he has incredible potential. Because I think that's a blip. I think he struggled, he had injuries and there was not enough of a foundation around him. But I don't think letting Brian Burns out, you know, off of that team is the right way to go.
All right. Well, the other tags I thought made sense. I don't think there were any surprises there. The ones that I said. The thing that I think caught my eye and caught us, we talked a little bit of before we jumped on, was the cuts that were made today, especially today, the Bills specifically. But before we get to the Bills, I mean, there were other cuts, and there were mostly DBs. You're talking about Xavier Howard, Eddie Jackson, Kevin Byard, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs, J.C. Jackson, Darius Williams, Rayshon Jenkins. All these guys, you know, really good DBs. I mean, except for Jamal Adams, but the Bills today, to add to those guys, they cut Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, a special team guy, Saran Neal, another guy, Deonte Hardy, backup mm-hmm. wide receiver, return guy, and their starting center, Mitch Morse. I mean, a lot of these guys are Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
The Bills were in trouble, though. You know, with the cap, they were like $40 million over, so they had to do some stuff. So
this is the direct this is what happens when you fail at your peak, or where you know what we call that window that teams have to perform to get to where they want to go. When you don't, this is what happens. They the situation the Bills are in should be a happy one because they went to the Super Bowl, either lost or won. That's when you're doing these cuts after going to the Super Bowl, I think it kind of, you know, makes it a little bit easier to stomach.
Right.
You know, but if you knew that you're like, you paid these guys all this money and then you're over the cap and now you got to figure out all this crap, man, it makes it hard. And I think the reason why we always touted them as one of the best team in the NFL is because of all these guys, all these names, right?
Yep.
Well, unfortunately, these guys, they came up short for whatever reason it is. I mean, you can't, I know White hasn't been the same player. He's been, you know, injured. He's been having issues for a minute. Poyer, great player, but come on, man. You can't tell me Jordan Poyer is the same guy that was one of the best feared safeties in the NFL. No, he's not. You know, Mitch Morse is not the same. When they got him a few years ago, when Jets fans were scratching around to get him because we thought he would be a good center for us. He was a free agent back then. He's not the same player either, you know.
Right.
And he might not be performing on the level that he's paid. He was paid to perform. So at some point you gotta cut bait. And it's good to cut bait when you're over the cap. Because yeah. I think it's the best, you know, it's the best time to do it, by the way.
Any of those guys, but, any of the, because we are looking for safeties, not really corners, but from the safety spots, any of those guys jump out to you that maybe the Jets could sign?
Not really. Not really. But what we're going to ask, our defense asks for is a lot of speed. And those guys just, they don't have it. You know, they don't have it. I think in a lot of ways, Poyer, in a defense where you're playing a lot of zone, I think Poyer would still be pretty effective. He's been that, you know, heady type of safety that understood, you know, how to attack different concepts and how to kind of confuse quarterbacks for a long time. But, you know, he can't cover space like he used to. So being able to kind of, you know, trick a quarterback into throwing a ball a certain place and being able to go get it, I don't think he has the go get it type of speed anymore. So I don't think his game is on that level. I think Mitch Morse also his game is, you know, has dipped. And if you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, you're trying to get him the best protection out there, man. You're not trying to get him the third best protection. And I think Mitch Morse at this point in his career is just not on that same level. Also, I think there's whispers around the Bills that they're moving one of their guards over to center. I can't remember which one it is.
Well, they signed David.
I think it's McGovern.
Oh, okay.
I think it's McGovern. I think I saw the article somewhere. Let me see. Yeah. I think I saw that article somewhere that they
re-signed David Andrews, their other guard.
Yeah.
So, you're right. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so I saw Ian Rappaport write this, that the Bills plan to move Connor McGovern to center. So, and David Edwards, who just signed a contract extension, is in line to start at guard. So, yeah. So there's a plan there. Would be crazy, right? You know, they definitely had to have a plan, especially if you have a quarterback like that. You need to, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not confusing at all for a lot of the stuff. I mean, I thought Hines would have been a better, more of a weapon for them, and he has not performed on the way on, you know, the way I thought he would. The other guys, I mean, don't know too much about them.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, I think it's more about age with most of these guys. They're
Oh,
all
yeah.
right around the 30-year-old age. Even Xavier Howard, who's really good, but I think he's up there too. I think he's getting close to that 30-year-old.
Isn't he 29?
He's right there. Yeah, he's how old is he? He's 30. No, he's 30 now.
He's 30 already? Oh man. Oh.
The only he's 30. Quandre Diggs is over 30. Bayard, I think, is over 30. Eddie Jackson, let's see where he is. I think Eddie Jackson's right about 30. Yeah, he's 30 also. So that's what you, I mean. I'm not saying they should or they shouldn't, but to have a veteran at least back there, I mean, we had what, Chuck Clark there. How old is Chuck Clark? Is a little younger, I think. Or is he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. I think he's right about that age.
Yeah, I think the style of play is different. I think Clark's style of play has always been run and hit.
Yeah.
He's not really a coverage guy. Per se. I'm not saying that because he could, especially depending on where you're asking. There's a difference in asking a man to cover a deeper in coverage than covering shallow, you know. So I don't know. I don't know if I would compare the two situations. I think what the defenses ask a different.
Yeah, the only problem I got with Chuck Clark is that he didn't play at all last year. So we know.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really his fault.
No. I'm not saying
he fell for the New Jersey curse.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the bad part.
Dude played his whole career without any significant major injury. Took one step in New Jersey and right. Boom.
Exactly.
Crazy.
So this is, I mean, these are just examples of the salary cap is real, that it does catch up to these teams. Like you said, it may not be real. You could make things happen for a year or two, but eventually you kick the can down the road. It's, you know, you're going to catch up to it eventually, or it's going to catch up to you eventually. The Eagles also cut Davante Maddox. He's another guy that gets hurt a lot. Very good player, but he gets hurt a lot. But to mention with the Eagles, everybody knew Jason Kelce retired this week. One of the greatest centers to ever play. He'll be probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. Eagles are probably going to retire his number pretty soon. So just a great player, just great press conference when he retired, you know, crying the whole time. But pretty amazing player. Yes.
Yeah, that as good as this guy was as a football player, I think what stands out most to a lot of people is the kind of man he is.
Yeah.
I think that's what's resonates with me the most. You know, you get to kind of understand a little bit of the man when you listen to his podcast with his brother and some of the conversations they have surrounding family and their beliefs. It's grounded in a lot of faith, not something that he actually, you know, kind of advertises a lot of, but you could tell he believes strongly in being a good father. And a good husband, and just a good all-around person. And that resonates with a lot of people. And I think over the years, a lot of non-Eagles fans have kind of fallen in love with him, man, as a player and as a man, you know, because there's not too many of these people walking around the earth that are willing to be out and about. You know, a lot of them are hiding. We feel like they're on the attack for some reason. So we appreciate, as human beings, people that are willing to, you know, be out there like that, you know, show themselves in their most vulnerable states, but also show how strong they could be also. So I applaud the guy. big fan of his. Anytime he's talking somewhere, I gotta listen, because he's funny, and but also makes a lot of damn sense. Not only talking football, but a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
So, definitely the kind of player you'd miss in that. You definitely miss in the NFL.
And a big reason why he retired was because of family. Because, you know, like, he's been in a lot of pain these last couple of years. You know, they're just, these games are starting to catch up to him. You know, Eagles being in the playoffs all these years too, so he's playing a lot more games than the average guy. You know, 36 years old. He's got young kids at home. You know, he wants to be able to, you know, get down and play with these kids when he can. You know,
yeah.
I think if he plays another year, you know, maybe the physical part of it, you know, he would get through a season and he'd play at the top level that he has played his whole career. But you know what, when he gets home, he's not going to be able to do the things he can with his kids, you know, with his family. So I think that was a big reason why he had to retire. And I think that was a big reason why you've seen him as sad as he was, you know, first in the last game that they played against Tampa in the playoffs, walking off the field, and he knew that was his last game. You could see he was showing his emotions then, and then obviously in the press conference. I think he knew, like, I'm retiring because I want to do this. I'm not retiring because I can't play anymore. You know, it's not because I'm not that good anymore. He would still come back next year if he could, but I think the physical part of it is starting to catch up to him, and he doesn't want to get to the point where, I could play 2 more years, 3 more years, but I'm not going to be able to walk around as much, or I'm not going to be able to, you know, do the physical things I'm able to do off the field like I did on the field. So, you know, because we see a lot of guys, you know, older guys that could barely get out of bed and barely walk, you know, but they were great players, because this game takes a toll. And, you know, we were talking about the NFL possibly adding, or they will add an 18th game to the regular season. It's going to take a lot out of these guys. And you're going to see, like, Jason Kelce, he's played, what, 13 years?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yep. That's a long career, but
mm-hmm.
It's not the longest career, but you got to remember a center.
But you got to remember what, yeah, exactly. There you go.
Kind of gets hit the on position. Every single Sheesh. Play. Right? A wide receiver doesn't get hit on every single play, right? No.
So, the craziest thing about it is Shannon Sharpe has recently been in the news, or been in the social media circus, because apparently he stepped out of a vehicle and, you know, apparently they started calling because I guess he stood a certain way. He looks kind of gay. What I guess I'm way out of touch with the new culture, that all of a sudden now every man that somehow doesn't look manly enough for people, now everybody's, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, what's the deal with Shannon Sharpe? I don't understand. What are they getting on this guy for?
Because he is way too popular and way too successful, so he needs to be brought down a couple pegs. That, you know, that's the nature of our culture nowadays. How dare he be successful? You know, that's basically what it is, friend. Yeah. Unfortunately, but anyway, the reason why I brought him up is he's the way he stood and the way he walks is 100% connected to the fact that the man literally had his hips replaced. He had 2 surgeries on each side of his hips. He's never going to be the same.
No.
He talks about it all the time. He talks about the fact that he can't go jogging. There's certain things that he just can't do. That's the toll of the game. You have to give up something. You have to sacrifice something physically to be able to play in the NFL as long as these people play. Man, kudos to Jason Kelce, bro. Damn.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable how physical this game is. And you're talking about a guy 13. Once you get into those years, man, I don't care what position you play. I mean, center, you're getting hit on every single play. But, yeah. I mean... You could let. That's why running backs don't last long anymore, right? Because it's just so physical. You don't see a guy like a Walter Payton anymore lasting 13, 14 years as a running back. It just doesn't happen anymore. It's just, and even for Jason Kelce, the last 13 years, that's, you know, that's a big enough an accomplishment. And then to be at the top of your game all those years, and still at you know, your last year, you're still a Pro Bowler, is extremely impressive. So, but yeah, the physical game and just adding the 18th game is just going to make it just that much harder for these guys to get through a full season. I mean, we only got the 17 games now, 2 years now. And it's just a matter of time before they had the 18th game. It's so grueling, this game. It's 18 games is crazy. And we know why. It's the money. They want to keep adding more games, right? It's all about money. So it's not about enjoyment of the game or, you know, for the fans. No, no, no. It's about money. It's about the league making more money so the players could make more money. The owners can make more money. That's what it's about. You know, it would be great if it was back to 16 games. I think that was perfect, but 18 games it is. And also the one good thing for the fans, especially what 18 games does, is it pushes the Super Bowl all the way to the holiday weekend in February, President's Day. So
yeah,
say it'll be the day after the Super Bowl, so everybody will get the day after.
Wow, that's quite the conspiracy theory, my friend.
There you go. So it is something good for the fans. There you go.
Hey, sounds good.
So that there were a couple of signings, no big ones really. Washington signed Zach Ertz, not a big signing. A big one that might, or I think it definitely will, impact us was the Texans signed their kicker, Fairbairn. I can't say his first name, Kaimi or Kiami.
Yeah, I can't say it either.
Yeah,
you sounded better than I would.
Yeah,
say that was definitely that definitely was far from what I was going to say. So it sounded better coming from you.
But interesting, 3 years, $15.9 million.
Mm.
So that's going to impact if we're going to sign Greg DeLeg here, which I hope they do. I mean, he's solid. So
yeah,
I'm sure that's what it's going to be around. A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about before we go.
Go ahead.
The guys that didn't get tags, two big ones. Wilkins from the Dolphins and Saquon Barkley from the Giants.
Okay, so I know what you're going to ask me, and I'm just going to say, if you're going to ask me if Wilkins is, why would they not sign him? I like him. I liked him coming out. But Alex Rollins, who appears on Play Like a Jet for the last couple of years during this off season, because he does a lot of film work, pointed out to, well, not to me personally, but pointed out to Twitter that or X or whatever you want to call it, that he hated Christian Wilkins's film in the playoffs, that he looked beat up. Like he looked like he was not the type of player that you would want to keep around because he's a game changer changing type player. And I went to look at what he was talking about, and I came out the other side not completely convinced, but tell you the truth, I hadn't watched the game that close. And when I did, I was kind of shaken. Because again, I thought, I think I was being a little bit biased because, like I said, I liked him coming out. So it definitely changed my opinion of him a little bit. I don't think it's easy. It's hard. I don't think it's as easy as saying, oh, you know what, a guy had a bad game. Because I think there's other games on the film that supports what Rollins said. So that probably made it easy for them to let him go. Especially the kind of money he would be trying to commandeer. You know what I mean?
That game was throughout the year he's seen it.
Well, that game was one of them, but I saw other examples throughout Twitter from other people that were pointing out you know, place where he was losing, and he was losing badly. You know, there's a thing when you're playing that position of DT, of course you're going to lose reps. It just goes without saying. You can't be perfect getting blown up by like 600 pounds because you're going up against two guards, a center and a guard or something like that, and a lot of times. But his game just looked shaky. And that's something that you don't see from the top tier defensive tackles in the NFL. Even when they lose, they look sturdy enough where you're like, yeah, you know, or they're troublesome enough that they're literally taking advantage, like forcing the whole scheme or the blocking scheme to kind of pay more closer attention to them than they should. You know, for example, our guy Quinnen Williams, and when if you watch games where Quinnen is playing, you will see offensive linemen go out of their way to make sure they have to touch him or get a hand on him. And sometimes you end up seeing three guys blocking him. There's a reason why you don't have a choice. Because whatever you're planning to do, it's not going to go well if you don't get your hands on him. And it seemed to me that teams, that was one of the things that shook me, was the teams were way too comfortable in letting him play one-on-one. Wilkins. If you're a top-tier defensive lineman in the NFL, teams are not going to be throwing one guard at you. They're going to be shadowing you with another somebody or something. Somebody's going to get their hands on you other than the guy you're playing heads up with. So, again, it's not a complete breakdown for me. That was somebody else's opinion that I went to watch, and I only watch a couple. This is a film, but my feelings towards him was definitely shaken, and I will do a more comprehensive breakdown, find more film of what I saw to back up what I'm saying. But I definitely came out kind of worried. Not that it matters because he got, you know, he wasn't tagged. Maybe they still sign him. I don't know. But
well, maybe he's a guy that they got to, you know, watch his snaps a little bit more, you know, get a better rotation, maybe. Maybe that,
you know, help. That's a good point. That's a good point because he's been playing a lot of snaps now. That's a great point, Chris. I'm going to tell you, you know, he's one of those guys that play a lot of snaps. So right,
just for a comparison, just for one, because we could be here all night comparing these guys. But Christian Wilkins, right, played 80 of the snaps.
Yeah, yep.
And he played in 894. Okay. Now, compare it to just our guy, right? We're going to our big guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Played in 68% of the snaps, and which came out to 779.
Chris. So, to tell you the truth, almost every elite level defensive lineman in the NFL plays more snaps than Quinnen Williams. Yeah. I've been saying this for years now. Quinnen Williams plays on an elite level whilst playing incredible amounts of less snaps than most of those guys, which makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
This should not be a comparison. If you're playing that many more snaps than this guy, his number should not be anywhere close to yours.
Right.
How are you? That's why I'm, anyway. This is not a Quinnen Williams conversation. But
no. You understand, though. I see why, or the advantages of having a rotation like the Jets do have.
Yeah.
To keep these guys healthy. Because when they're in, they're monsters, right? And they're not breaking down by the end of the season. Like you just said, you know, Wilkins might have broke down eventually by the end of the season, you know, but they might not. But you know what? They don't have the team to do it. Remember towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
How many guys were hurt for that team?
Yeah. And one of the things that they were giving up was the running game, remember?
Yeah.
Teams were able to run on them a lot. And it...
So I think it's
hard. There is only one other guy in the NFL. There's only one man in the NFL that plays defensive tackle that plays that kind of, that number of snaps and still performs. And his name is Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And you could check it. His snap numbers is ridiculous. It don't even make sense that he plays that much. And he went to a damn Super Bowl and still performed like he. It don't make no sense. But yeah, you That was an incredibly great point you made, that the snap numbers was something that probably played a part in the way he kind of down the stretch kind of looked different from what he did earlier in the season.
And I'm sure whatever team signs him, and he's going to get paid one way or the other.
Yeah, because he's a good player, man. I'm in no way I'm not saying this guy is trash at all, at all. At all. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, like, please don't think that's what I'm saying at all.
Yeah,
like,
I just think the new team that signs him is going to sign him and say, okay,
we partner see him with somebody. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to break down your snaps a little bit. Not a lot, you know, get down to where like Quinnen is. You know, Quinnen's like in the 68, whatever I said. It's going to be more like that compared to 80%. But also, too, I think Miami had to play him that many because of the injuries that they had, and they didn't have the depth that, say, the Jets had on the inside, you know, that they could rotate guys all game.
Yep. So,
and Saquon's interesting because we know how good he is, right? He's a very good
player.
We don't have to say how good he is. But there's always a but, especially with running backs. First of all, running backs don't get paid now. That's number one. And number two, if you're going to pay a guy, he better be number one elite and number one durable. And durable is not exactly Saquon's, you know, best thing here. Last year, he missed, I think, two or three games. He didn't get 1,000 yards rushing. You know, still young, though. He's still, I think, 26, 27 years old. So the age is not there yet. So he's still on the right, you know, he's still not 30, which is what I'm trying to get to. So that's a good thing. Where do you think he goes? And what kind of a contract do you think this guy gets? Do you think he's going to get 2 or 3 years? It's so confusing for me. Like, not confusing, but it's interesting what he's going to get.
Is it true that he turned down a near $10 million deal from the Giants for 3 years?
$10 million a season?
No, it was $10 million for 3 years.
Oh, so like three something a year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would assume he turned. If he did, it makes sense. I don't think he would want to sign for that little of amount.
Yeah. That's I don't know where I got that from. I somewhere in my brain, I saw that somewhere. I heard it somewhere. But anyway, I think he's still like, I don't think. This guy is not a throwaway player. This is not what we're talking about here. He's still an incredibly dangerous NFL weapon. Like, somebody could use that. No?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of good running backs this year.
But as much as the, you see, this is the thing for me, in my opinion, is like, you could be good in the NFL, but you still not Saquon Barkley, though.
No, I don't think there's many like him.
Exactly. The whole conversation surrounding the Giants and Saquon Barkley has been bothering me for a minute, because the whole thing goes, oh, well, you know, we don't really have to pay this guy because he's not really useful. You won all the games you won in the last couple of years because of him.
Right.
That's it. Please point out who on that offense was the weapon other than Saquon Barkley. Please.
Oh, the Giants, yeah. They didn't even have a good offensive line the last couple of years. So,
yeah, so you're trying to convince me that you don't want to pay the one weapon that you had that had you winning games in the last couple of years. Because he's a running back.
Right.
Come on. Come on. This is ridiculous, man. This whole thing, this is one of these conversations that might take us down a rabbit hole. But yeah, I'll just say this. This is why a lot of us fans call colluding. A lot of the times we end up saying stuff like that because all of a sudden, all these NFL teams all of a sudden have these bright ideas that make absolutely no sense. You're telling me Jacobs is not worth being paid?
Right. And he's a free agent.
What are we talking? What?
Derrick Henry is a free agent this year, too.
Come on, man. Oh, because running backs are not. This is still football, my friend. It's always going to be football. I don't care how much you try to, you know, put a skirt on it or put lipstick on it, whatever you want to do. It's still football.
Yeah.
And running backs are going to be an essential part of NFL, especially the kind of players we're talking about. Come on. Those are game-changing players. Their value is not the same. What are you talking about? Come on. Chris, I wholeheartedly disagree with the fact that this man is out there looking for a job. That don't make no sense to me. Absolutely not. And if we could get our hands on this man and bring him to the Jets, bro, I'll applaud that all the way to the bank. I don't care what anybody tell me.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big
game. I don't think it'll ever happen, of course, no. Chris. I'm not saying that's something that's mean. Possible.
Yeah.
It does. because basically we're gonna have the two of the kind of like type players on the same, you know, you need kind of a change of pace when you're talking running back, having two running backs. But
any team looking for a running back, if they are, they got the pick of the litter because you got
Saquon
Barkley, you got Tony Pollard, you got Derrick Henry, you got Josh Jacobs, you got Austin Eckler. I mean,
Eckler to me, Eckler and what's his name? The other kid that you just mentioned, in like they're on the outs looking in for me. Like Eckler has had injuries. Eckler's been in the league for a while. Eckler is more of a receiving type back now. And he's not the type of back he used to be when you would pound him into the dirt. Right. So I'm not, you know, I don't think I would be mentioning him with the likes of, oh, yeah, and Pollard, too, coming off of the injury that he had. I don't know if he's the same dude. I think more of a change of pace back now that he is, I think, more than anything else. But Henry?
Yeah.
Jacobs? Barkley? Those guys are game-changing backs. They're still good. They're still top of their game. And in my opinion, they shouldn't be out on the street looking for a job at all. But not for too long anyway.
No, I don't think they will. You know, I think – I just hope that their money gets to where they want it, you know, or at least close to it, and not what the league is willing to pay these guys. Because, they're like you said, they're still valuable, man. These are still top running backs in the league. Top. I mean, Derrick Henry – I mean, what more does that guy have to do to show you that he's valuable to a team? You know, Derrick Henry could literally carry a team, you know, for stretches, long stretches of in a season. So, it's going to be interesting where these guys go and the money that they end up getting, because they're all top of the list of running backs. You know, and we're going to have our pick of the litter for backups, too. There's a lot of good backups. And we'll be getting into it, you know, and hopefully that they do sign a good backup running back for us for Breece Hall. But, I don't think they would sign one of the big guys, but I could see definitely one of those second-tier guys for sure. But it'd be interesting to see where these guys go. Like Saquon Barkley, we've never seen him outside of a Giant uniform, or Derrick Henry. You know, we just know him as a Tennessee Titan, you know, for how many years now. And it's going to be weird to see him in something else. And some were saying that he might go to Baltimore, which would be insane if he goes to the Ravens. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean that's not a bad marriage when you think about it.
No,
I mean especially the kind of deep football they play. I think it's a great marriage when you think about it, being the kind of physical back he is and the kind of physical team that is. So yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So.
Yep.
All right.
I think Jacobs is also, because he's a physical specimen himself.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be a great marriage too. Let's see how that happens.
Yeah, because they need some like stability at running back, because they've had good backs there. They're always getting injured, right? Between Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. You know,
a hell of an offensive line too, man.
Yeah.
I want to run behind those guys. Oh my goodness.
That offense would be incredible. You think Derrick
Henry? Oh, man. If those guys get their hands on one of those running backs.
Oh, man.
Hey, look out, man.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely.
So, anyway, that's our show. Next week, we'll talk about the tampering opens up. So, we should start hearing stuff about free agents next week by the time we get on, so which would be cool. Hope you enjoyed the show. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.